appreciate that good singing this morning. More than that, I appreciate the presence of the Lord in this place this morning. If you can't feel His presence this morning, I'm worried about you. Because He's sure here. Amen? Don't worry about these folks praying. They're not bothering me, and I guarantee you I'm not bothering them. Amen? Take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter number 4. Mark chapter number 4. I'm going to read some from some familiar scripture this morning. I've preached from it many, many times. And maybe this morning we'll go in just a little bit of different direction, but I want to try to be a help and a blessing to you. We'll get you out just as soon as possible. But I promise this, we're going to preach till we're done. Amen? So you just sit tight. And I tell you what I'll do. I'll keep you long enough that we'll let the Methodists get out of the way at the buffet, okay? And there'll be fresh food on there when you get there, all right? Amen. Mark chapter number 4, I told Brother William, we were sitting on the platform this morning, and I leaned over, and Brother William's one of the young preachers in our church. I said, do you know what it feels like to have two messages or two sermons on your heart? He said, yes, sir, I do. I said, well, do you know what it feels like to have three? He said, oh, Lord. and that's the way I've been all night last night and this morning even sitting in my office. I had three different directions, and they're all three totally opposite. And I said, now, God, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to make me worry for nothing? I don't know which way to go, but I want to be obedient to you. And just before I came out of my office, I'd already prayed, and I had three outlines laying on my desk. And I said, all right, Lord. I said, we're going to do this the super spiritual way. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Amen. I said, Lord, I need to know which way to go. Amen. And anyway, I told the Lord, I said, God, during the singing, I pray you'll speak to my heart. And I believe He did, and I believe I got some direction this morning, okay? So I tell you what, you pray I got the right message. And I pray that you'll get it, okay? Mark chapter number 4 and verse number 35. If you know the story, the disciples are in a ship with the Lord, and they encounter probably the greatest storm in their life. How many of you ever been through a storm? Yes, amen. Every one of us. I'm not talking about a hail storm. I'm not talking about a wind storm. I'm talking about a physical or a spiritual storm in your life. Yes, amen. A relationship problem. Yeah, come on, talk to me a little bit. Yeah. A physical problem. I'd say, Miss Ashley, I'd say cancer's a storm, wouldn't you? I'd say that's a big storm. Amen? An addiction problem. Amen. We got all kind of storms, don't we?
Yes, sir.
We live in a stormy world. Somebody said all God's children got problems. Well, the Bible foretold that thousands of years ago. Amen? When Job said, man born of woman is a few days and what? Full of trouble. Somebody said, well, if I go to church and I give my money in the offering plate, will that exempt me from problems? No.
Amen.
We don't give to get.
Yeah.
We get to give.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I don't give the Lord my offering so He'll be good to me. I give the Lord my offering because He is good to me.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
We got this crowd on the TV talking about, oh, send your money and you won't never have no more problems. They're lying through their teeth. I thought about the one guy who said, touch the TV screen for a point of contact, and whatever your illness is, it'll be healed. But there he is with glasses on. I thought, come on, Jack, you touch the screen. Amen? We okay this morning?
Yes, sir.
What I'm saying is we've all got problems. Now, these disciples find themselves in a great storm. But listen to me, let me just preface the message this morning by saying this storm was necessary for their life.
Yes.
For the Lord to get them to where He wanted them to be, to know Him like He wanted them to know Him, this storm was necessary.
Yes, amen.
Amen. We've all faced some necessary storms. Look at verse number 35 and we'll read the story. The Bible said, in the same day when the even was come, He saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship, and there were also with Him other little ships. And the Bible said, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. I don't know if I'll ever get to the message this morning or not, but I want you to back up in that verse right there.
And let's look at what kind of storm the Bible said it was. Come on, talk to me. What kind of storm was it? A great storm. Now, Brother Jason came to my house one day this week, Thursday or Friday. I'm not sure. Maybe it's Friday. And he cut down a dead pine tree in my yard for me. And we were standing there just talking, and all of a sudden, ice started falling out of the sky. Little bitty pebbles of ice. I mean, just tiny, tiny, barely could see them. And you know what that was? That was a hailstorm. But it wasn't a great storm. Now, if they'd have been that big around and knocking holes in the roof and beating the windshields out of the cars and knocking me and Jason out in the driveway, that we might have said, man, that's a great hailstorm. But it wasn't a great storm. It was just a storm. Yeah. We have a lot of storms in our life, but every now and then we face a great storm. Yes. I mean a big one. Yes. You don't get too many of those in your life. They don't come every day. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. But the Bible said that they faced a great storm. I heard a great preacher say this one time, and I've never forgotten it. We were in California at a preacher's conference, me and Brother Freddie and some of us, and Brother Tom Williams, the old cowboy preacher from Montana. He said that a rain will test your roof. Is that right? He said, but a flood will test your foundation.
Yeah,
write that down somewhere. A rain will test your roof, but a flood will test what you're built on. Amen? Sometimes these great storms come. And you know what? I believe in Christians' life, like I've used Ashley already this morning. I believe when that cancer comes. I wonder how many scoffers stood back and said, well, I wonder if she'll still pray. I wonder if she'll keep going to church. I wonder if she'll still be faithful. They want to see how we handle these great storms. Amen? And I'm glad she did. Keep praying. I'm glad she did stay faithful. Amen? I believe it made them more faithful. But there was a great storm. The Bible said in verse 38, he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? You ever been there? Come on, be honest. Have you ever prayed and said, God, do you even care why I'm going through what I'm going through? Have you ever got mad at God? Let me put both my hands up. I mean, have you ever just reared back and let him have it? Boy, most people don't want to admit that. I mean, have you ever just got fist shaking mad and said, God, why are you doing this? This ain't fair. And this ain't right. I pay my bills. I'm honest. I'm good to people. I don't deserve this. You ever prayed that? I've prayed like that. Amen. I've got sure enough righteous indignation mad with God. Amen. Is that a wise thing? No, but it's a human thing. Amen. Because we get in these areas where we don't think God is paying attention. But let me just say this morning. God's always paying attention. God always knows where you are. And God always knows what you're going through. Amen. Nothing in your life has caught God by surprise. Nothing. I'm sure when Ashley woke up that morning and felt a knot in her throat, that was a surprise. Last thing she ever expected to hear was, you have cancer. And it's the most aggressive cancer we've ever seen. We don't even know what it is, but it's horrible. Make plans to die. That's basically what they said. We weren't expecting that. Amen? When we get in those places, we need to realize that it hadn't taken God by surprise. He knows exactly where we are. Lord have mercy, my mind's going 1,000 directions. You pray for me this morning. Verse number 39, the Bible said, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Stay with me just for a second. Some of you have heard a little bit of this before. But what kind of storm was it? It was a great storm, right? What kind of calm was it? I'm glad he didn't just say there was a great storm, then there was a calm.
Yeah.
But the peace of God matched the greatness of the storm in their life. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know how big the storm is, how black the clouds are, how heavy the winds are, how heavy the rain is. I don't know how full your boat is this morning, but listen to me this morning when I say there's only one thing as great as what you're facing, and that's the peace of God this morning. Amen. The Bible said there is a peace that passes all understanding. Now listen to me carefully. You got to know Him to know that peace. Before you can know the peace of God, you've got to have a relationship with God.
Yes, God.
Amen. There was a great calm. I like those times. I like those times. I don't like the storms, but we all have to go through them.
Yes,
but I sure do love it when the Lord steps in and says, peace be still.
Amen.
We've watched it in this sanctuary. We've watched it over and over and over and over again. God working in the lives of people and giving peace where we thought there could be no peace.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Giving victory where we thought there could be no victory.
Amen.
We've been through some storms together.
Yes.
Brother William, as Sister Mandy and Alan was telling me about losing their little baby this morning, I thought about you and Jennifer. And I remember that day as just a young preacher, and we walked out on that hillside there in Dallas, and we put a little casket in the ground. It was about that long. And I remember the peace of God that showed up on that hillside that day and gave comfort like nobody else could give. I'm glad I know Him this morning. I hope you do. The Bible said in verse number 40, and He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? I doubt I'll ever even get through reading the scriptures this morning, but there's so much in this story.
Amen.
Jesus said, how is it that you are so fearful? He said, how is it that you have no faith? How much faith did they have? How much?
None.
Now again, I'm not kicking your favorite TV preacher, but here's what they say.
Right.
If you have faith,
yeah.
God will do this or God will do that. If you have faith. When they lay their hands on somebody and somebody don't get healed, their excuse is, well, they didn't have enough faith.
Amen.
How much faith did they have?
None.
Come on, talk to me.
None.
How is it that you have no faith?
Amen.
He didn't say, there are other times He said, oh, ye of little faith. He could have said, how is it that you have little faith? He didn't. He said, how is it that you have no faith?
Amen.
So how much faith did they have? The more y'all talk to me, quicker we'll get out of here. How much?
None.
None. No faith. Did He calm the storm?
Yes, sir.
Yes or no?
Yes, sir.
How much faith did it require for God to work a miracle in their life? How much?
None.
Absolutely none.
Amen.
Oh, I know without faith it's impossible to please God. I understand that. We ought to have faith.
Yes,
and the more we see God do in our life, the more faith we ought to have. Amen? But if you're real honest this morning, God's done His greatest works in your life when you doubted Him the most. God's moved the greatest in your life when you threw up both hands and said, I quit. That's it. I'm done. I can't go anymore. I don't have what it takes to do this. And God steps in and says, watch this. Amen. Can I get a witness right there? Tell me you've got to have all this great faith for God to work. God can do what He wants when He wants.
Yes,
amen. Don't you think God, the psalmist said, He remembers that we are but dust. He knows what we are. And He understands when we're weakest is when we need Him the most.
Amen.
The Bible said in verse 41, they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey Him. I'm well aware of what time it is. It's 10 minutes to 11. Four exits that way. Amen? In Alabama. We'll be out here in just a little bit, okay? I want to draw your attention to two things, two elements in this story this morning. And talk about them just for a minute. They are this. And there are two elements that are the same in your story. There's fear. And there's faith.
Yeah.
You understand that?
Yeah.
There's fear in this story and there's faith in this story. There's the right kind of fear and there's the wrong kind of fear.
Amen.
In verse number 40, I believe it was the wrong kind of fear. They were afraid of the storm.
Amen.
But in the last verse of our chapter, in verse number 41, they had the right kind of fear. What they saw God do made them fear. Amen. Well, our society has this mentality today, no fear. Did you know fear is necessary for life? If somebody said, "I ain't afraid of nothing," you're a liar, or you'd be dead. Amen. We've got some firemen here this morning. Brother Mark, Chase's dad's a fireman. Brother Tommy's a fireman. Brother David's a fireman. I don't know how many. You know the only thing that keeps them alive on their job? A fear of fire. Amen. Man, if you ain't afraid of that thing, it'll kill you. Somebody told me the other day, said, I don't ride horses. I got horses. Somebody said, I don't ride horses because I'm afraid of them. I'm afraid of them too. When you get to that point where you're no longer afraid, you're fixing to get hurt. Amen? When you get to the point where you're no longer afraid, you're fixing to get badly hurt. Amen. I remember several years ago, Brother Todd Bennett, my good friend up in North Carolina, he travels the country. He used to be a supercross racer, motocross racer. He brought his motorcycle and jumped for our bus kids. They blocked off the street out here. We've got a picture of him. He's over our steeple out here. Brother, that's up there. He got through doing that. He set up his ramps out there and practice jumped a time or two. He pulled his motorcycle over there. He said, "Here, take off." I got out there and rode some wheelies up and down on Main Street. You know, man, that's pretty cool when you can do that on Main Street. Amen. With the cops standing there looking at you. Hallelujah. I thought that was pretty neat. He said, "Hey," he said, just wind it up in third gear pretty good. Hit that ramp, preacher, and I promise you, you'll come down on the other side. He said, "I know you want to." And you know what? There was something inside me, Brother Freddie. I wanted to. I seen him do that. He grabbed that back fender and clicked his heels. I clicked my heels behind the pulpit. I thought, surely I can do it behind a motorcycle. Amen. I wanted to do it. But boy, there was something inside me. Like Thumper, boy. I said, "No, no." You know what that was? Fear. I'm glad that fear was there. Amen. I'm glad that fear. These little punks riding around in their lowrider truck. I got an issue with that. I think it's in the Bible somewhere. You do that to a truck, that's a sin, amen? You're supposed to jack them up, amen, not lower them down. Amen. I seen a boy in a truck the other day, front bumper's about to drag the ground, had tires on it about that thick. I thought, man, that cannot ride good, amen? But they got them big stickers in their back window. No fear. You put a 40 caliber Glock upside that little boy's head and he'll wet his pants. Amen. No fear. No fear. Well, there is fear in this story and there's faith in this story. And let me just say that they're both necessary. Amen. They're totally opposite from one another. Fear and faith are totally opposite. But they work together to bring glory to God in your life. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Let's think about it for just a second. How many of you are saved? You're going to heaven when you die. Raise your hand. You know what got you there? Talk to me. Why did you get saved? Give it some thought. Yeah, I did not get saved because I wanted to go to heaven when I die. Had nothing to do with it. That was an afterthought, Brother Freddie. I mean, that thing hit me a couple of days later. Oh, I'm not just not going to hell. I'm going to heaven when I die. Amen. I came to the point in my life where I was literally afraid that I would burn forever and ever and ever in a place called hell. Yes, sir. That fear drove me to Christ. Amen. When we get saved out of selfish motives. Would you agree? I didn't get saved because I wanted to glorify God. I'll be honest with you, that thought never entered my mind. I needed help. And I was at a place where I realized I couldn't help myself. There was nothing I could do about it. I realized, hey, I'm a member at White Oak Springs Baptist Church. Wasn't doing me a bit of good. I'd been through the baptistry at White Oak Springs Baptist Church. Wasn't doing me a bit of good. I realized that the help I needed was outside of the human realm. I did not need what the natural could give me. I needed what the supernatural could give me. I had a supernatural problem. I was a sinner on my way to hell. I needed a supernatural solution. So it was my fear of hell that drove me to Christ. Would you agree? I've seen it over and over and over. I've seen fear of death cause people to turn to God. I've seen the illness of a loved one cause people to turn to God. I've seen jail cause people to turn to God. I've seen divorce cause people to turn to God. We got all kind of fears in our life. And how we respond to that fear is whether or not we're successful or not. Amen? I want to respond to that fear in the right way. If that fear is designed to make me cling closer to God, I want to cling closer to God. Amen. Some of y'all got some stuff going on in your life right now that's beyond you. You're worried to death. You're losing sleep. And you couldn't fix it if you wanted to. Somebody said, why don't you just let go and let God? Amen. I think that's pretty good advice this morning. These guys were in a storm. I'm talking about these were professional sailors. They fished for a living. They knew what they were doing. You reckon they'd ever been in a storm? Come on. You think they'd ever been in a storm? This one was getting the better of them. The Bible said the boat was now full. I don't know how many of you have ever been in a full boat. My wife and I, we borrowed Brother Alan Jones's kayaks last year. Let me give you some good advice. Those things are not meant to fish out of. We went to Lake Wise to Brother D's place on the lake, and we took them kayaks, and Sister Angie was out there. She just paddling, going all the way around. I'm fishing. If there's water, I'm fishing. And every time I try to make a cast in that kayak, I turn the stupid thing over. Let me tell you something. When a kayak gets full of water, it's going down. Their boat was full. Their boat was full. Logic would tell you the next thing is drowning. The next thing on their list is shipwreck. They've done everything they know to do. They bailed and they bailed and they bailed. I'm sure, Brother Freddie, they lightened the load. They threw the heavy stuff overboard. They've done everything they know to do. Everything humanly possible, they've done. They're still sinking. You've done everything humanly possible you know to do. You've figured the bills every way they'll figure. You've borrowed from here and you've borrowed from there. You've wagered against this and that. Amen. Come on. Somebody help me this morning. You can't borrow yourself out of debt. I done tried it. It don't work. Amen. You've done everything you know to do. When they had done all they knew to do, you know what they did? They went and woke him up. They went to the hinder part of the ship and said, hey, wake up. He wasn't asleep. The Bible said he never sleeps and he never slumbers. He let them think he is asleep. He knew what was going on. Carest thou not that we perish? Is it okay to pray that way? So often I've heard people scoff and criticize these disciples because of the way that they prayed. No, they prayed the way they felt. Now, wouldn't it have been foolish if they'd have come and said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Some great ecclesiastical prayer. Some formality. How stupid would that have been? Y'all all right? They prayed what they felt. When's the last time you really prayed what you felt? Hey, we're dying. Our ship's full. We're going down. Do you even care? Probably been a long time since you had a preacher encourage you to pray like that. God knows your heart. It doesn't matter what's coming out of your mouth. He knows what you feel and He knows what you think. Tell Him. Tell Him. Tell Him. You know how they got help? Listen, He did not rebuke them till after He rebuked the storm. He said later on, how is it that you have no faith? But first, he rebuked the wind.
Yes, sir.
I love that. That's one of my favorite things in the whole Bible. He rebuked the wind. You know what it means to rebuke? It means to scold, to get on to.
Yeah.
I just see the Lord stepping out and going, hey, him, y'all calm down. Well, you told us to blow. I'm telling you to stop, quit.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that cool? Have you ever tried it? Let it rip sometime. I mean, just step out there and go, hey, stop that. See what kind of response you get.
Yeah, brother.
Amen.
That's right.
I just love it. He said, stop it. And you know what? The Bible said there was a great calm. I believe fish quit swimming. He said, peace be still, brother.
Yeah.
I believe it was still.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
Before he rebuked them, he rebuked the storm in their life. Why? They wouldn't have taken the rebuke beforehand.
That's right.
How is it that you have no faith? I don't know if you noticed or not, but you're standing in water.
Yeah.
We're going down. That's how we have no faith.
Yeah. Amen.
But after the storm is calm, then he could literally say, what's the problem, guys?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
That fear was necessary to put their faith into action.
Yes, sir.
Here's a question this morning. What's it going to take to get your faith moving this morning? Will it take a great storm? Or maybe just a small, still voice?
Amen.
As the preacher preaches this morning.
Amen.
Some of you need to kickstart your faith this morning.
Yeah.
And put it in God.
Amen.
You say the economy's bad. What do? Trust the Lord with all your heart. Amen. Obama doesn't have the answer. Oprah ain't got it neither. Are you listening to me? Dr. Phil ain't got a clue. Joel Osteen ain't got the answer. I hate to put myself in the same category with such highfalutin folks, but Eddie White ain't got the answer either. But God Almighty does.
Yes, sir.
What are you saying? I'm saying you can take that fear of whatever you're facing in your life and you can turn that over to the Lord and He'll turn that fear into faith.
Yes, sir.
What is fear? It's an anxiety of something that's coming your way.
Yeah.
What is faith? The Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 11, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Yeah.
Can I explain that to you? It's a pilot on an airplane. I fly all the time, at least once a month, I'm on an airplane going somewhere. I rarely see a pilot, especially since 9/11. They're up front with the door locked. For all I know, they could be a monkey eating a banana sitting up there. But I buy my ticket.
Yeah, bro.
And I find my chosen seat, and I sit down. And I see people wringing their hands, worried to death. You know what I do? I'm out of them now, but I used to keep those flight, it's a gospel track about a plane crash, and I'd give them one of those. Amen. I was coming home from somewhere a long time ago, and the plane, I was sound asleep, and the plane got in a real bad storm. And we hit the ground, and when we hit the ground, I woke up, and the lady sat beside me. She said, I cannot believe what you just did. I said, oh, my Lord, what did I do? I was scared I did something while. I thought, oh, man, what did I do? I was afraid I did something while I was asleep. Y'all know what I'm saying? And I said, what did I do? She said, we have just been in the worst storm any of us have ever experienced, and you slept through the whole thing. She said, this plane fell 20-something feet. I said, ma'am, it don't bother me a bit. My father owns the airplane. Amen.
Yeah,
I sat down in that seat with faith that guy up front can get me to where I'm going.
Yeah.
Amen. And the day I got saved, I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that He can get me to where I'm going. So, have you ever seen Jesus? No, I hadn't.
Right.
And by the way, Oral Roberts ain't neither.
Yeah.
He said he saw him and he was 90 feet tall. That's what he said. Man, he's got a little bitty Jesus, hadn't he? My Bible said the earth is his footstool. Amen. That's some of you's problem. You've got too little of Jesus this morning. I put my faith in him, and my faith is that he can get me to where I'm going. I mean, where are you going? I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. Amen. Lady at the airport one day, I was checking in my bag, and she looked at, I was coming home. She said, Atlanta, Georgia, is that your final destination? I said, oh, no, ma'am. She said, oh, you're changing planes in Atlanta? I said, no, ma'am. I said, my final destination won't involve a plane. I'm taking a flight, but I won't need Delta, amen? I've got faith. I don't know what storms are going to come between here and there. Saved 20 some odd years ago, 26 years ago, my wife and I were saved the same time, same night, together. We've had some storms. We saw our son lay in a coma, not knowing for a few minutes if he'd ever live, if he'd ever wake up. Even the doctor said, God only knows. We've seen some storms. We've been through some physical storms. We've been through some spiritual storms. Y'all would not believe this. Y'all wouldn't. But she's actually threatened to leave me. Imagine that. We've been through some storms. I don't know how many more we'll face, but listen, I can tell you this. He got me through that one. And he got me through that one. So I think he'll get me through the next one. And I believe he'll get me through the next one. Amen? Your fear, you said, preacher, I'm afraid. It's okay. That fear will cause you to trust in Christ. Listen, these disciples forgot three simple things. Let me give them to you right quick, and I'll have you out of here in a little while. Listen to me. They forgot his word. Amen. They forgot his word, Brother Freddie.
Yes, sir.
Go back to the start of the story.
Yes, brother.
The Bible said in verse number 35, and he, and the same day when the even was come, he what? Saith unto who?
Them,
the disciples. He saith. Would that be the word of God?
Yeah.
If God speaks, that's the word of God, right? He saith unto them. What did he say unto them? Somebody help me. Let us. Next two words. Pass over. Let us pass over. They forgot his word. Some of you have forgotten what God has already said. He said, let us pass over. They literally thought they were dying in the storm. But wait a minute, Jesus said back there, let us pass over. If he said we're passing over, friend, we're passing over.
Amen.
If he said let us go the other side, we're going the other side. There may be a hail storm, there may be a wind storm, there may be a hurricane, but bless God, on his word, we're going through.
Amen.
Amen. Some of you just need to get hold of a good word this morning. You need to find you a promise in the Word of God, get you a good bulldog grip on it, and not let go. And when you pray, say, God, you said, God, you promised, God, you said you would never leave me. You said you would never forsake me. God, you said you'd be with me in trouble. Now, where are you? Oh, I know you're too spiritual to pray like that. But some of us live in the real world. Some of us face real demons and real problems. Amen. And we'll pray just like that. You ever quoted God the Bible? You ever got in there and read to him? Say, hey, you did it for this guy. Now I'm going through it like he is going through it. Now God, you said you're no respecter of persons. Y'all listening? Some of your fears are so great because you don't know what God has said. If you would just get hold of the Word of God and let that thing take part in your life and get inside your heart, when that fear comes, you'd say, oh, I ain't got to worry about that. Because I know what God said, and if God said it, that settles it. Amen. If God said it, that's it, man. I ain't got to worry about it. Amen. I'm not worried about the economy.
Amen.
I'm not. Brother Tom has told me time and again, don't cash your check. Wait till I get the offering in the bank. Now, buddy, that's living paycheck to paycheck. Amen? Well, got quiet. I've seen it whole lots worse. Amen. I'm not worried about the economy. I'm not worried about the political agenda of our nation. Because they think they're in control, but they're not. God's still on the throne. Amen. Amen. He said, I am the Lord and I change not. Why don't you get hold of a promise from the Word of God? You know the Bible's full of them. Why don't you go stop by the Christian bookstore sometime. Tell them you want the Little Promise book. Just tell them that. Tell them I want the King James Version of the Little Promise book.
Yeah.
It looks like a New Testament. You know what it is? It's just scripture upon scripture upon scripture upon scripture upon scripture for your home, for your heart, for your health, for everything you face in your life.
Right.
Promises from God's Word.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what some of you need this morning, as a promise.
Yes, sir.
You know why people listen to the news every day? They want somebody to give them some hope.
Amen.
They want somebody to give them some hope. You know why the president makes, what do you call them speeches he gives? State of the Union. State of the Union. You know what that means? That means he's supposed to tell us what kind of shape we're in.
Yeah.
You know how they listen? They're looking for some hope.
Amen.
Just tell us it's going to get better.
Yeah, bro.
Just tell us everything's going to be all right. Listen, why don't you get it from somebody who knows?
That's right.
They forgot his word. They forgot his word. Listen, not only that, they forgot his works. They forgot what he had already done. In Mark chapter number 6, the Bible said that their hearts were hardened and they considered not the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. They forgot what God's already done. Have you ever just gotten to a place where you just frantic and scared to death, but you have simply forgotten what God's already done?
Amen.
Listen, if he could save your soul from hell, is there anything too big?
Yeah, brother.
Is there anything too big for our God to do in our life?
Amen.
Come on, help me this morning. I'll have you out of here in a minute. Wake up. Is there anything God cannot do?
Amen.
I read where he parted the Red Sea and the children of Israel marched. I'm talking about 5 million people marched across on dry ground. Amen. One atheist said, well, that's not a miracle. That's not the Red Sea. It's the Reed Sea, and it's only 2 inches deep. Well, there's a bigger miracle than that there. Pharaoh's entire army drowned in 2 inches of water.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
I read where he parted the Red Sea.
Yeah.
I read where he rained manna down from heaven and fed his children for a long time. Amen. I've read all kinds of stuff in that Bible that God's done. And I believe God can do it again. I believe that he's still able. Amen.
Yes, sir.
I watched him heal that girl from cancer head to toe. I'm talking about from right here all the way down. Cancer. Eat up. Did I doubt God? Yeah. I've never said this publicly. I sincerely agonized over what I was going to preach at your funeral. Did I still pray? Every day.
Amen.
God, don't take her. God, touch her. Let her live. God, I know with you all things are possible.
Amen.
Was I doubting while I was praying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So were some of you. See, it was outside of human ability.
Amen.
Even the doctors said. So naturally, what are we to think?
Yeah.
You know what the Lord said? How is it that you have no faith?
Right.
Stay with me just for a minute. If he did that, he can take care of this.
Yes, sir.
You listen to me? If he got you through that other thing,
yes,
he can get you through this thing.
Yes,
sir. Now, if you're saved, if you know Christ as your Savior, heaven is your home, no doubt in your mind. That's the greatest miracle that ever taken place in your life.
Amen, brother.
And if he did that,
yes, brother.
He can do anything.
Yes, brother.
They forgot his word. They forgot his works. Look around at what God's already done.
Yeah.
Find somebody who's going through what you're going through and who made it.
Yes, sir.
And say, hey, God,
uh-huh.
They did it. Help me.
Yes, brother. Amen. Amen.
Don't forget his word. Get you a promise. Don't forget his works. And then lastly, I'm done. They forgot his wonder.
Yeah.
They forgot his wonder. Look how the story began. It began in fear. It began with woe. But it ended with wow. They sat in that ship, the same ship that was going down. Same one. And they said, what manner of man is this? That even the winds,
yes, brother,
and the sea obey.
Yeah.
Her story began with woe, but it ended with wow.
Yeah.
I'll never forget the night I stood here, and I actually have a copy, I think I do, of the doctor's report. And I read it from this pulpit standing right here. And it gave all these numbers, wasn't it? And they were at this level and this level and this level. And it gave all these. It was a whole list. And we just started reading down through there. Zero, 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 zero. Wow. 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 Wow.
Yes, sir, bro.
Wow. I wonder how many of you got some wow stories.
Yes,
that God did something in your life.
Sir,
and you knew it was him. There was no denying. It had to be God.
Amen.
Had to be. Man couldn't do it. Money couldn't fix it.
Amen.
Knowledge couldn't fix it. Education couldn't help it. But God touched it.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Don't forget his word.
Amen.
Don't forget what he's already done. Don't forget his works. Don't forget his wonder. He's an awesome God.
Yes, bro.
He can handle what you're going through. Let's stand to our feet this morning.
Amen.
Brother Todd, if y'all would, come and get us a song. Listen, I know it's been scattered this morning. But I hope and pray that there was something in it for you. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ain't nobody looking around. I wonder if there'd be somebody here this morning. Just be real honest. Say, Brother Eddie, I'm in the storm. I am in fear. I need the Lord to do something in my life. Could you slip up your hand? Hands all over his building. Thank you. For being honest. Maybe you've forgotten what great things God's done in the past. Maybe you've just begun to focus lately on your ability and what you can or cannot do, and you've forgotten what he can do. You've forgotten there's nothing that he cannot do. Why don't you let that fear bring you to a place of faith this morning? Put your hope and your trust in the Lord. I love that old song that says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We'll help you pray this morning. We'll pray for you. But oh, why don't you come and do it for yourself? The Lord wants to hear from you this morning. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Lord, have you forgotten me? Do you even know where I am? Oh, you need to hear from him this morning as much as he wants to hear from you. I wonder if there's one here today that said, preacher, I've never been saved.
If I died just like I am, I'm not sure heaven would be my home. I'd really like to get that settled in my heart. Would you pray for me? Just slip up your hand. I won't embarrass you. I wouldn't come to you for nothing. Preacher, I'm not sure where I'll spend eternity. Please pray for me. Anybody, just slip your hand up. Put it right back down. I just want to pray for you. Thank you so much this morning. Father, as we come before you this morning, we thank you, God, for a good day. Lord, we thank you for these dear people that are here this morning. Lord, the friends that are here today. Lord, you know, and they never will, what it means to me that they're here today, God. And I just want to give you glory for it. Lord, there are men in this room. God, when we was teenagers, we should have died together. Lord, you let us live. You've shown us mercy and you've shown us grace. God, because of you, we got to sit here and worship together this morning. And I just want to thank you for that personally. God, you saw every hand that was raised in this room. But Lord, long before a hand was lifted, you saw every heart. You know every need. You know every condition this morning. God, I pray you'd deal with us accordingly in this altar call. Have your way, Lord. God, you be honored and glorified, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.